Good morning. My name is Frank Tierman. I'm the pastor here at Calvary Church. And Dorothy Beatty, who we reverently call Miss Dorothy, or now Deacon Dorothy. We love her. Next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Amen. April 4th. Wow. It's already beyond us. So the question is, who will you invite? Who will you invite? We have two options for you to invite people. We have the online option, and we also have in-person option. So, we're supposed to have a video now, and I'm supposed to point to it. But so, just invite people. I guess that's the main message. Tonight's an important night. A couple of weeks ago, I posed this question to you. Am I going to get involved in the calling of Russ Jarvis as associate pastor? Well, tonight's the last night for you to be able to do that. We are actually going to vote, and we're going to try to determine what the will of the Holy Spirit is, because it's the Holy Spirit from Acts 20:28 that chooses pastor elders. And so tonight, you can go to your Zoom link in your weekly email and join us to confirm. And again, we're going to be meeting here at 7:30 while we meet online. A little bit from my past. Again, I'm not going to tell you how old I am either, but you're going to be able to figure out that there was a time when you only had a couple of choices to do things. And when you have to choose one or the other, that's called a binary choice. You either accept one and reject the other, accept the other and reject the former. But when I was a kid, Sunday night was ice cream night. My father would often take us out for ice creams, and one of the places that he would take us would be a place called Carvel's. Anybody ever heard of Carvel's before? They were actually the first. They invented soft serve ice cream, and so we'd go there, and we had the choice of either a chocolate ice cream cone or a vanilla ice cream cone. That was it. That's all they had. So we had one choice to make. Also at home at those times, when I was very young, we only had two channels on our TV that we could get. We didn't even have ABC. We only had CBS and NBC. And those were the days, if you wanted to change the channel, you had to get up and walk over to the set and go click, click, click. And for us older people, when that every once in a while that thing would break off, right? Now you couldn't change the channels. You had to watch Channel 10 all week. But now our choices are overwhelming, aren't there? We've got all kinds of choices with everything. We've got you go to an ice cream place now, you got all these mixtures and things. You go on your TV set. We got the basic package. We've only got like 138 channels or something like that. But even now, we don't even have to make choices, right? Because we can get a swirl ice cream soft serve, right? So we get chocolate and vanilla. And we got picture in a picture, so we can watch two programs at once. But today, our passage brings us up to another binary choice. A binary choice that hasn't changed since 30 AD. So if you could open your Bible to Luke 19, we're going to be in verses 28 to 44. We're going to see that Jesus presents himself now for the first time clearly before the people as the Messiah King. And we're going to see that when he does that, the choices are made. And there's no swirl, there's no pip. And I will tell you, as a human being, we still have this choice today to either accept him as Messiah King or to reject him. This is the most important decision you will make as a human being. And you only have one choice. It's accept him or reject him. So I'd like you to stand for the reading of Scripture. We're going to read this. Like, Kristen said this is sometimes called the triumphant entry. Before we get started, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this scripture that is oh so important. As we begin this most important week of the year spiritually, what many refer to as Holy Week, we start today with the triumphant entry. And so, Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts today, that would compel believers in Jesus Christ to do something with the good news that they have. And for those that don't know you as Savior, that are watching today, I pray that this will be the day that they receive, that you receive Jesus as your Messiah King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as Jesus had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "You, even you, had only known on this day would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Please be seated. I name my sermon today, "Jesus, Choose Wisely." And I'm going to talk through the three movements in the passage where Jesus, as prophesied, showed himself as the Messiah King. We'll talk about the people who accepted him and the people who rejected him. Move on by the fact that judgment is what follows the rejection of Jesus Christ. And then I want to close with, now what for us? First of all, Jesus clearly presents himself as the Messiah King. There is no doubt about it. The people knew it because in Zechariah 9:9, a messianic prophecy that the people knew and they were waiting for this king, says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." See, we read many times throughout the gospel the so-called messianic secret, where Jesus says to people many times, "Okay, I did this, but don't tell anybody." See, he didn't want people during his ministry to try and raise him up as a king and to start a revolt against Jerusalem. That's not what he wanted. That's not what he came for. But here, he makes it very obvious to people. He presents himself as the messianic king. And there's also other messages from Jesus' ride too. He rode on a mule, not a stallion. Jesus will come back as a conquering king on a stallion, just like the Roman leaders would come. But Jesus came instead on a mule, which kings use for civil ceremonies. You could see Kings 1:38. It was also on a colt that was never ridden. And the purpose for that, it seems like, there's a sense of purity, sense of being set apart, that particular animal, for something important. You could see Numbers 19:2 and 1 Samuel 6, 7. I have to laugh a little bit about this colt. Here it is, his first gig carrying somebody around, and all these people gather and are cheering and waving at him, right? The colt must have figured, man, I must be really special. And of course he was, because he was the colt who was chosen to carry the Messianic King, the God-man. So what I want you to make sure you understand is Jesus clearly portrays himself as the prophesied Messiah King. You know, there's a bunch of people walking around, so-called scholars, that say that the followers made Jesus into something he never claimed for himself. That isn't true. That's not true. You can read it right here. The disciples knew what was going on. His opponents sure knew what was going on. And what Jesus said, even the stones knew what was going on. So to those people that say that, we hope you'll figure out what was going on too. Jesus was proclaiming that then, and he's proclaiming it to you today. He's proclaiming it to us today. So number one, Jesus is the prophesied Messiah King, and that's how he presents himself. And in verses 36 to 40, we see that some people accept Jesus, and some people reject him. Two very different reactions. People then had to make a choice. Am I going to accept Jesus or am I going to reject him? And today, we have the same choice. This passage presents that choice over and over through the centuries until today, and including today. Well, I will tell you, the disciples surely accepted Jesus. The owner accepts Jesus as the Messianic King. Think about it. You know, they're going to get the colt, and he says, and the owners see him, and he says, "Oh, the Lord needs it." Oh, okay, fine. Think about this for a second. Suppose you stop at home, leave your keys in the car, run in the house to get something. You come out, and you see somebody getting in the car, getting in your car, and you're going, "What are you doing?" If they say, "The Lord needs it." If you don't know Jesus is in your neighborhood, you're calling the cops. So the owner knew Jesus was the Messiah, and he had played an important part in his presentation. The disciples accepted Jesus too. They put cloaks on the mule and on the ground, a sign of great respect. They joyfully praised God. And they praised him through Psalm 118:26, which is a messianic psalm. It's a psalm about this Messiah who's leading the people in a procession to the temple, which is exactly where Jesus is headed to. And but they say, they changed the psalm a little bit. As we read the psalm says, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." But they didn't say that. They say, "Blessed is the King," because they knew who it was. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." What they're saying to Jesus is, "You are the Messiah King. We see you as you are." Now, that was the first group. The second group was the Pharisees. And they see Jesus as the devil, right? They talked about the way he was able to do miracles was because of Beelzebub. They see Jesus as a blasphemer, another one of the false messiahs that have been parading themselves for hundreds of years in Jerusalem. And so the Pharisees said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They knew exactly what him riding on that colt was meaning. He said, "Rebuke them." In other words, tell them it ain't so. Jesus says, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. All creation knows who I am, you religious leaders. You better figure it out too." The stones, the rocks, the dumb rocks know. We hope you figure it out too. This was in 30 AD. Nothing has changed, people. Nothing has changed. Jesus presents himself as the Messiah King today. And we have two choices. as anybody here today. This passage challenges reader to either check the box, accept Jesus as Messiah King, or to reject him. And there's no swirl. There's no picture in picture. It's a binary choice, one or the other. One or the other. So Jesus shows himself as the prophesied Messiah King. We either have to accept or reject him. But this is interesting. Judgment follows the rejection. Now, let's take a little bit of a detour here to a little bit of teaching here. There's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, those Gospels, don't stone me, are not written to us. They're written for us, but each Gospel writer was writing to a specific people for a specific reason. That's why the Gospels are all a little bit different. They share lots of material, but not all of it. There's lots of overlap, but there's different themes and different emphasis. And each gospel writer chose to include aspects of Jesus' life which help them make the points that they're trying to make for the people that they're writing to. Now, all have some uniqueness. In each gospel, there's material that are not in the other three gospels. Mark only has 7% unique material. Matthew is 42%, Luke 59%, John, which was probably written later, maybe 20, 30 years after the other Gospels, has 92% unique material. Now, a nice tool to have for your Bible study of the Gospels is something called the Harmony of the Gospels. Harmony of the Gospels. And what a Harmony of the Gospels does is take all of the four Gospels and place them next to each other. So all of the passages are placed next to each other so you can see on a particular passage like this one, what does Luke say that the other ones don't? What does he say that they all say? And it's very interesting here. Verses 38 to 44 only appear in Luke. They only appear in this gospel. They don't appear in the other gospels. The part about the rejection of the Pharisees and the judgment that is to follow. See, Israel's rejection of Jesus will lead to Jesus' prophecy of judgment. And what he describes there, Jesus, about the embankments and all of that, is an accurate description of Jerusalem's destruction by Titus Vespasian in 70 AD. They tore down the entire city, and they even burned down, by mistake, they burned down the temple. Burned down the temple, and they turned every stone upon itself so that because the soldiers were trying to get the gold. So his prophecy came in great detail. It happened. Luke is a world-class secular historian. He is one of the best historians. He puts in each of his gospels plenty of secular history to tie down. And so we know when Luke's gospel was written, and so we know this is a prophecy. There's no getting around it. Jesus was in complete control that day of all the events. He knew the colt was going to be there, and he knew what was going to happen later, judgment on Israel for saying no to him. There's another unique aspect of this gospel, too. In verse 37, it says that they were praising God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. The only gospel that has that in there. But if you look up miracles, that word, and do a word search on it, it only appears one other time in Luke. And it happens at another judgment declaration by Jesus. In Luke 10:13, he says, "Woe to you, Chorazin," that's a city in Israel. "Woe to you, Bethsaida," another one. "For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon," those are Gentile areas, "they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes." See, Israel's rejection of Jesus was widespread. It wasn't just the Pharisees. There were many, many people that rejected Jesus as the Messiah King, despite all of his preaching and all of his miracles that they could see. You know, many people say today, "Boy, if God would just do a miracle, I'd believe." Not necessarily. Read the whole Bible. People walked through the Red Sea and then were saying to Moses they wanted to stone him. They didn't believe God was going to care for him. And here, there's plenty of examples right here. But that passage ends in verse 16 in Luke 10. And Jesus says, "He who rejects me rejects him who sent me." He who rejects me rejects him who sent me. What are the implications of that? Saints, I want to tell you there's only one true God. You've heard many people say a lot of times, "Oh, well, we're all worshiping the same one God." That's not true. That simply is not true. Unless you are worshiping the God that has a son who is co-equal with him and who came to earth to pay the penalty for your sins, if you're not worshiping that God, you're worshiping some other God that does not exist. And there's only one true Jesus, too. Many people say, "I believe in Jesus," but they don't believe one or more of the following. They don't believe his miracles. They don't believe he's co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, that he's a God-man, and that he died to atone for our sins. If you don't believe all of those things, then you believe a Jesus that doesn't present himself in the Bible. And there are Christian cults. There are false forms of Christianity. Plenty of them. They're all around us. We need to believe Jesus for who he says he is in the Bible. There's only one true God and only one true Jesus. He who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Now, right before our passage today, and it's important to read the context as you're reading through the Gospels, because they tell a story as they're meant to be read in one sitting. The parable of 10 minas. A parable is an earthly story that illustrates a spiritual principle. And the way this particular earthly story ends, the parable, is in Luke 19:27. The verse right before our passage today says this. This is how that parable ends. And again, this is the parable of the earthly king. "But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me." See, earthly kings sentence to death those who are not loyal subjects. If you don't want Jesus as your Messiah king, you will be sent to eternal death, which is eternal separation from God for all eternity. For all eternity. That may hurt, but it's the truth, friends. It's the truth. I got to tell you the truth. It may hurt you, but it's not going to harm you. It's going to help you. Hear it good. And I want you to understand, it's a righteous judgment. If you don't want Jesus to be your king, he's going to give you all eternity to live that way apart from him, with all the other people who reject him. Now, that's a righteous judgment, but I want you to understand that and look very closely at verse 41. This is so important, and I'd have this in your Bible. "Although the judgment is righteous, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city," he's just about ready to talk about what's going to happen to them because of their unbelief, "he wept over it." He wept over it. I want you to understand this. Jesus, because he's a righteous judge, is compelled to judge people. But he loves you. That's why he came to earth, to pay the penalty for your sins so that you could have an eternal relationship with him. And when you decide against that, it causes pain for Jesus Christ. It causes pain because he loves us all so much. He wants all to be gathered to him, but you have to make the choice. He's going to respect your choice. He is a righteous judge, but he will weep if you make the wrong decision. And I want to tell you, he cried over the city, but I want to tell you today, let me give you another verse. In John 5:24, Jesus also said this, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned." He has crossed over from death to life. So he offers you two choices, and I'm going to give you the choice in a couple of minutes to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior if you've never done that before. So the passage is pretty simple, really. Jesus comes out finally and presents himself as the Messiah King. We see some people who accept his proposition. We see others who reject him. And Jesus is very clear, rejection comes at a great cost. So what do we do with that? What do we do with that? Well, if you're a believer, I think it's important for us as believer to make perfectly clear to people that there is an important decision before them and to let them know there is a reality of judgment, but there is good news to avoid that judgment. It's important to tell people both. People need to hear the whole truth. Don't be like the guy on the street that doesn't invite his neighbors to Easter service. Don't be like the guy, or don't be like the wife who doesn't tell the husband what he needs to hear today. I want to implore you, parents and grandparents, tell your children and your grandchildren this good news. Tell our parents who need to hear this, our moms and dads, maybe our grandparents. Tell our extended family, our friends, our co-workers. Don't hide this very important good news for people, because them not hearing it from you can cause their eternal destruction. Give them the opportunity to make the choice. Present clearly. Amen? And if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. It's a binary choice. There's no swirl. I'm going to offer you the opportunity to accept him. And I want to remind you that Luke's gospel has all kinds of real events that have been verified over and over again from other writings, secular writings, and from archaeology. What was presented today is the truth. It's the God's honest truth. And to reject Jesus means eternal separation from God for all eternity. And so John 5:24, let me say it again. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word, and you heard it today, and believes him who sent me, God the Father, has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. And if you'd like to make Jesus your Messiah King today, I want to make sure you understand one thing. To accept Jesus as King is the same as accepting him as Lord. And a king makes the laws, and he expects his subjects to follow those laws. And Jesus gives us all kinds of great scripture to obey because it's best for us. He knows what's best for us. So it's really a wise decision to receive him as Lord and Savior, to be saved from your sins. That's what Hosanna means. It means save us, save us. He is a righteous king. So if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, what I'd like you to do right now, everyone, is to bow your head here and at home. And if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never done this, just say this prayer along with me in your spirit. You could say it out loud if you want, but it's not the prayer that saves you. It's your belief in what you're saying. I'm just going to ask you to just say it along with me. What we're going to talk about, what we're going to say to God together, is that we recognize that he loves us and that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. If you want Jesus to be your Messiah King, say this prayer along with me. Lord God, I know that you love me dearly. You love me so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. And so today, I confess that I am a sinner in need of forgiveness. I confess that I accept you as my King. So Jesus, be my Lord and Savior today. I ask you to give me the Holy Spirit so that I will have power to be able to obey you and to follow you and to give you glory in all that I do. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just said that prayer, if you're here or you're watching, let somebody know you did that. And if you need some help getting started in the Christian life, ask whoever brought you today or whoever you're with, or give me a call this week. Amen? Should we pray?